Hi, welcome to the MVC Screencast series, Using ASP.NET MVC with Community Tools. Brandon Satram here, and this is episode 10 on AutoMapper. This and other screencasts from the MVC series are available at bit.ly/MVC screencast. Whether you're just getting started with ASP.NET MVC, or you've been doing this for a while, you're no doubt aware that one of the trickiest parts of getting started with ASP.NET MVC is deciding what the word model means to your application. Until recently, ASP.NET MVC made no statements out of the box in terms of what your model should be. This differs from Ruby on Rails, where the default capital M model for new projects is ActiveRecord. But with no default model, developers were left to their own devices to decide what the model should look like, be it POCO entities mapped to an ORM, an ActiveRecord tool, type datasets, DTOs, or something else. As a side note, with ASP.NET MVC Tools update released at MIX, that story has changed, and the default capital M model is Entity Framework. The output of the capital M model that you decide to use for your application is usually a set of .NET objects that represent the domain of the software. This is often called a domain model, and it represents the things that your users care about, and the relationship between these things within some given context. In most modern solutions, those model objects are POCOs or plain old CLR objects, .NET objects with properties and methods, but no knowledge of persistence. With POCOs representing your domain, it's easy to start an application with those same objects serving as the models passed into your views. And while this works for a time, nearly every MVC application will reach a point where that object that represents the model doesn't match precisely to the expectations of your view. Views will be created that require access to multiple models, or which need reference data to populate lists or dropdowns to assist in form completion. At this point, the domain model cannot serve as the sole voice or source of model data on your views. A common, quick and dirty solution to this problem has often been to use the MVC View Data Dictionary, or the ViewBag Dynamic Object in MVC 3. And while this strategy works, it becomes difficult to manage, and it begins to muddy the relationship between the view and the model data it depends on. A better approach is to introduce view models into your application. View models are, as they sound, view-specific models. They are shaped to correspond to the view rather than the domain model. As a result, they clearly communicate what the view depends on and avoid corrupting the domain model with view-specific concerns. The problem with this approach is that additional objects requires the introduction of code that maps the domain model to the view model. 80% of this code tends to be straightforward mappings of properties with the same name, but has to be done by hand each time the domain model is served, or the view model needs to be mapped back to the domain for persistence. To address the burden of manual mapping of domain models to models of other kinds, AutoMapper was born. Created by Jimmy Bogard and born out of work done with ASP.NET MVC on actual projects led by Headspring, AutoMapper is an open source tool that does the dirty work of object-to-object mapping for you. It uses a convention-based matching algorithm for matching up source and destination values, meaning that you don't have to explicitly specify the 80% properties that match from your domain model to the view model. You can then use AutoMapper's projection and configuration API to specify those mappings for less than obvious cases, but even this you only need to do once. Enough talking about AutoMapper though, let's see it in action. In this demo, we'll install and use AutoMapper in an ASP.NET MVC application to help manage mappings between our domain models and view models in the Faceplant application. So let's start by talking about the models that we have defined here. In our core project, we have a speaker object. Right? We have a POCO object that represents a speaker type in the database. It has some properties like name, email, favorite programming language, and state. A collection of sessions that speaker has signed up for or created on the site, as well as a function that returns the average rating that speaker has received across all of their sessions, right? So this is our domain model on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side is our view model, the speaker form. You'll notice that most of these properties are very similar or the same, all the way down to sessions and average rating being different. In this case, the sessions is just a count of the sessions rather than a collection of those session objects, and then the average rating rather than being an actual method is just the double value. Now, my view, index.cshtml, is the page that actually renders the list of all of the speakers created in the site, and you'll notice here that its model reference is an IEnumerable of type speaker form. right? So I know that this is my view model, and I need to have some sort of process to map that view model, to map my domain model to the view model. Now, any of us that have used domain to view model, sort of the structure in our applications in the past, probably have done something similar to the code that I have here inside of my index action. And that is very simply to just do that mapping myself, right? So I get a collection of speakers out of my repository. I create a new enumerable type of the speaker form, and then I perform a for each over each item in speakers and create a new speaker form object and add that to the ultimate collection. So because I have to do this myself, this it's not a ton of code, but it's code that I have to maintain. I could obviously put this in a helper, but most of the work that I'm doing here is just mapping, you know, properties of the same name from one object to the next. There's a few cases here where I'm doing something relatively unique, but for the most part, I'm just trying to create that mapping. And not only that, but because I'm actually relying on mapping methods to properties, I cannot use a simpler link select call here. That actually won't work. So I actually have to do the enumerate the elements manually myself via the for each. So we can obviously make this a lot simpler, and we're going to do so by using AutoMapper. So what I want to be able to do is allow AutoMapper to get to do the conventional work of just mapping properties from one properties or methods of the same name to properties from one object to the next. And then all I should need to specify is the specific projection that AutoMapper won't be able to figure out on its own. So in order to look at doing that, what we're going to do first is actually create some unit tests to actually define some mappings and test the validity of those mappings. And so this is pretty simple. And we're going to start by installing AutoMapper. And so I'm going to type install package AutoMapper. That's going to use NuGet to go and find AutoMapper for me. Go and download that and add the reference into my applications. So we'll add that to both our unit test project as well as our core MVC application as well. And then once we've done so, we're going to specify our first test, and we're going to utilize some of the features in AutoMapper to do two things. We're first going to define the mapping itself, the mapping from the speaker object to the speaker form, from the domain model to the view model, and then we're going to perform an assertion to make sure that that configuration is actually valid. So the first call that we'll make here is mapper.createMap. We specify the origination object and the destination object. And then from that, we will actually call mapper.assertConfigurationIsValid. And this will actually call AutoMapper to check every property on both objects to make sure that we can completely map one to the next by via the default conventions. And so we'll run this test. Now that test is ultimately going to fail, which is what we want at this point. The reason it's going to fail is because the configuration is actually invalid, and we need to make a minor change to that in order to cause it to work. The biggest thing that's different is, as you saw from the speaker to speaker form earlier, is that the sessions count, the sessions property is an iCollection of session in our domain model, but needs to be an integer representation of the number of sessions in the actual form itself. And so we're going to use one of the fluent methods off of AutoMapper to actually specify for member. So what we'll do is say that after we call create map, we'll say for the member of sessions, you want to actually map from one to the next, and we'll say that when you're mapping from this to that, you need to specify sessions count. So once we have defined for member and specified that when the sessions property needs to be mapped from speaker to speaker form that we can do the count, we'll go ahead and rerun this test, and it should pass now. Now that that test is passed, we're going to add a second test. We've just asserted the configuration at this point. We're going to go ahead and add a test that will test some actual data. And so now what we'll do is create the test method that actually will create a speaker object. Actually do a little bit of setting up of some sessions as well. Once we set up the speaker and some sessions, and we'll call mapper.createMap again as we did in the last test, But now what we'll do is we'll actually call the mapper.map function. And the mapper.map function is what we're going to call in our controller. After we call mapper.createMap, we'll actually load up a speaker form object using the mapper.map call. And this takes the origin and destination objects, and it takes an existing origin object and then returns that destination object. So that'll take our existing mapping and the configuration that we supply here in lines 53 and 54 and actually give us an actual object. And then we'll do some assertions to make sure it's properly mapped using AutoMapper. So we'll add that to our test run now and make sure that our mappings there are correct. And that test will pass. So now not only do we have the appropriate configuration, but we know how we actually need to call this inside of our controller. So we can go ahead and add that now. Now, these two lines, mapper.createMap and mapper.map, need to be in two different locations. CreateMap actually is only called once per application domain. And so as such, I can move that into my global SAX because I'm only specifying those mappings once, and then AutoMapper will use that every other time I actually call mapper.map. And mapper.map I will call inside of my controllers or in an action filter or wherever else I choose to actually perform that mapping. In the case of this demo, we're going to do that inside of the controller. So we'll start by going up to global SAX, and we're actually going to add that mapping there. Same mapping that we had in the test, and that's all we need to do to actually specify that. CreateMaps is called on application start. And then from there, we can actually go into the controller to specify this change. And so you see here, now this is my classical code that I had from before, right? This was my manual mapping code. I'm going to go ahead and comment this out. And instead, I'm going to add in my new mapping code, which is the code that will actually take the existing speaker data from my domain model and actually give me the speaker form data that I can return. You see that here. So I create a speakers object that represents everything from the domain model in the repository, and then I'm calling mapper.map. Here I'm specifying an enumerable of each type, but that mapping is defined even for a single object, will work for collections as well. And then I'm passing that speakers form into my application, so I can run this now. And then when the application loads, I'll navigate to the speakers index page, and I'll have my data from the database, and I have my results. Same results I saw before, but I didn't have to create that mapping code myself. Now the other situation that we have to handle here is a little bit different when we're actually modifying data from our form and we want to map that back in the other direction, right? Right now all we've defined is one-way mapping from our domain model of speaker to the speaker form. And so when I come in and actually change this data and save, I'm going to get an exception because the mapping hasn't been specified the other way around. And so as such, I'm going to need to create a mapping that goes back the other direction that actually will map from the speaker form back to a speaker object. And this is going to be slightly different, so it's worth going ahead and showing here. And of course, we're going to start defining that mapping through a test. We have a configuration test for our speaker to speaker form mapping, so we're going to specify a test going back the other direction as well. So my test method here, the create map, is a little bit different. Here I'm saying now I'm going from speaker form to speaker, and then what I'm saying for member, now instead of mapping the count, what I'm saying is don't worry about mapping the sessions, and I'm calling op.ignore. And when I actually specify .ignore, what I'm telling AutoMapper is you don't have to manage this mapping because I'm going to take care of that. And in fact, we are. We're going to actually use the existing session data to map that back when AutoMapper pulls in and transforms that from the speaker form back to the actual domain model. So we'll run that test and it'll pass. And then back on the speakers controller, we can deal with saving an edit. So I'll navigate down to our edit action. And here in the edit action, notice we have a speaker form, but in order to save to the speaker repository, we actually need to specify a speaker object. So we're going to do something slightly different using AutoMapper in this case, is we're actually going to specify post a little bit differently, right? So we're going to take the existing speaker from the speaker form, take that ID, and we're going to get that actual domain model out. And then we're going to call a different map function, this time mapper.map, and we're going to specify the speaker form. We're going to specify our origin object. We have our destination, but we're also going to specify an existing object that we want to be part of that mapping as well. And so what AutoMapper will do in this case is it'll take the origin object, it'll transform that to the destination object, and then any unchanged properties from the existing object, it'll go ahead and fill those things in. So I don't have to worry about maintaining or going and getting and setting the the set of sessions properly from the database. And if I don't do this, it's going to overwrite those. So by adding in that existing domain object, it'll make sure that nothing gets overwritten or gets removed when I actually go and create that. So I'll now go and rerun the site and change some of that existing data. Of course, before I forget, I also need to mention that I need to specify this mapping in the other direction in my global ASAX as well, or I'm going to get an exception when I attempt to call that. So the same thing that I had in my unit test I can call here, and that's all AutoMapper needs in order to start things up properly for me as well. So we'll run the site, and we'll navigate to speakers, and we'll edit one of our existing speakers and attempt to save that back. We'll click save, and now when I go back to the index page, you'll notice that the changes that I actually made to that speaker record have been reflected, and none of my existing data, like session count, was lost as a result of that change as well. So that's a quick look at AutoMapper and how you can use that in your MVC applications. As this is just a short screencast and introduction to AutoMapper, we've only touched the surface of what AutoMapper is capable of. As a very mature project, AutoMapper is no doubt capable of handling most of, if not all, of your mapping needs and challenges. For more information on these features, check out automapper.codeplex.com. That's it for this episode. To learn more about AutoMapper, check out automapper.codeplex.com. To install AutoMapper in your application, get it via the NuGet package installer or type install package AutoMapper in the package manager console window in Visual Studio. You can also download or fork the source for AutoMapper on GitHub. Coming up in the last two episodes, we'll dive into Knockout.js and finally Should and Mockyou to close out the series. And of course, this and other screencasts are always available for on-demand viewing and downloading at bit.ly/mvcscreencasts. I hope this has been helpful. If you have comments or questions, feel free to contact me via email, at my blog, or on Twitter.